Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today. Your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Happy MLK holiday to all of you out there in Raider Nation, all of you in Las Vegas, and all of you around the world listening to us on the Raiders official mobile app and, of course, on LVSportsNetwork.com, where you can stream this show and all of Raider Nation radio all day long from your smartphone, from your computer, wherever you may be. This is Silver and Black Today for a Monday, powered by our good friends Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. 702-820-1234 is the number. Scott Gulbranson back with you, along with my special guest co-host Hondo Carpenter, who will be with us in just a second. But also want to give you a rundown of what's on the show. Of course, Hondo and I at the top, we'll talk about the NFL playoff recap, as well as give you, as part of our new winners and losers segments, our winners and losers from the world of sports from Sunday coming into Monday. We'll talk about those as well. Then we'll talk about the Gus Bradley hire and one, I think, of the most sneaky great pieces of the Gus Bradley hire. And by the way, I keep seeing Raider Nation tweeting out things like, man, the more I look into Gus Bradley, the more I like the hire. I agree with you on there. And another part of that hire was bringing Ron Miles with him, the defensive backs coach, was going to be huge for that young back end of the Raider defense. We'll talk about that at the bottom of the hour. Then we'll also hear from my buddy and partner Q Myers with the Q-tip at 3 o'clock. And at 3:20, usually at 3:20, today at 3:30, we'll talk, as we do every week on Monday, to Hunter Renfro, the 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfro segment, brought to you by the men and women of the Laborers Local 872, who built Allegiant Stadium. They built all of Las Vegas. So we'll hear from Hunter. We'll talk to him about the post and ask him how it feels that three of the four teams that were in games yesterday, the Raiders beat this past year. Talk to him a little bit about that. Also ask him about the quarterbacks, wide receivers, what he saw, and how his golf game is going. And then we'll close out the show talking to our good friends Sam and Ash on this holiday, on this day that we remember and reflect on the work, the words, and the wisdom of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Hope you had the day off. If you didn't have the day off, I understand there's lots of us out there working on this holiday, but that doesn't mean you can't take time to reflect and remember with you, your family, and your loved ones. So let's do that. But now I bring in my special co-host here on Mondays and now Wednesdays on Raider Nation Radio, and that is my good friend Hondo Carpenter. He is the publisher of the SportsIllustrated.com's Raider Maven website. Hondo, how are you doing on this holiday, my friend? Hondo, are you there? Okay, we'll get him there in just a second. The power of the internets. It's always something that we're always looking to do. So we'll get him on. We'll get Hondo on here in a second, but I'd like to also hear from you. 702-365-9200 is the number. And so we'll make sure that we get you on the air too. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the playoffs. Also, the head coaching carousel, some breaking news at this hour, is that Brian Daboll, in the last few hours actually, is going to stay with the Buffalo Bills. He interviewed and really looks like he wanted that Chargers job, did not get it, and has decided to stay put with Buffalo, which has been a surprise for everybody. But certainly the Chargers going the other way, of course, and hiring a defensive coordinator from the Rams instead of an offensive coordinator. But that was interesting, to say the least. So you see Brian Daboll out there, and still a lot of you wondering when Eric Bieniemy is going to get a job. And certainly he's been interviewing and he's been going around. And now that we have our studio issue connected, we now have Hondo Carpenter with us. Hondo, how you doing on this holiday, buddy?
I'm doing great, buddy. Thanks for having me on. What's going to be a big day, and I can't wait.
All right. Well, I was just talking as we came in, Hondo, about the news that Brian Daboll was going to stay with the Bills, and it looks like, you know, out of all the opportunities left, if you look at a head coach in the NFL nowadays, they want to know that they have that quarterback. They have that in Houston, but Houston appears to be a mess. And when Brian Daboll did not get the Chargers job, it looks like he decided to be patient and perhaps wait until next year, and he's now staying with the Bills.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I hope for Eric Bieniemy. Do you mind if I do this for a second?
No, we were just talking about him. Absolutely.
I think he has potential to be a very good coach. And one of the problems that I don't like to see with minority candidates is because they get so few opportunities that they end up taking the crap jobs. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's crap jobs that continue to lose. I mean, go look at Detroit. They fire Caldwell, and he took them to the playoffs. Yeah. And I don't want to see Bieniemy take a crap job. I want him to do what a Mike Tomlin did, where he waited, and then when he got a chance with a great franchise who appreciated how good he was, he succeeded. I mean, I'm Sylvester Croom, who you know was the first black football player in the SEC, the first black head coach in the SEC. I went to Starkville to interview him once, and him and I spent a couple of days together. And one of the things that he talked about is, it's just not getting jobs. It's you got to get jobs you can succeed at. You got to get opportunities. It's got to be good ones. And let's be very honest. I don't want Eric Bieniemy to go get a job where it doesn't matter if you're white, black, pink, or purple. Doesn't matter if you're Vince Lombardi, Jimmy Johnson, or Barney the Dinosaur. You're not going to win there because they're systemically crap franchises. I want Bieniemy to get a great job, and that's what I hope. I hope he says, listen, I don't want to be a head coach so bad that I'm willing to take a crap job. I've got a great job here in Kansas City. Because I'm going to tell you this. If I'm him, I'm going to ride the Kansas City train, keep accumulating Super Bowl rings and wins. Maybe I get the job when Andy Reid's gone.
Yeah, and Hondo, that's the question, though, too, because I'm seeing a lot of people that are seem to already believe that he's not going to get a job and that it's not his choice and that the reason he doesn't get a job is because of the color of his skin. And I know here we are on this Martin Luther King holiday talking about equality, and I know, you know, we had the Fritz Pollard Association folks on last week, Rod Graves, to talk about all of this. And I think some people are I understand their nervousness about somebody who they believe. Now, this is the media, this is some players, this is people across the country who think that Eric Bieniemy deserves a head coaching job, and that if he doesn't get one, the only reason will be because of the color of skin. I don't subscribe to that. I'm not saying, as we talked about with Rod Graves last week, that there doesn't need to be more done in the NFL. We all know that's the case. At the same time, Eric Bieniemy, what happens in those rooms when he interviews for the job? I don't know. And so I don't know that we can say that for certain. And I think you bring up an interesting point that I had not thought of, which is maybe some of it could be Eric Bieniemy saying, yeah, no, I'm not. That's not, I interviewed for this role, but I don't like the situation, so I'm going to wait. Now, he hasn't said that. We haven't gotten any indication from him on that. The Houston job's still open. The Philly job's still open. He has not interviewed for Philly. He's interviewed for Houston. And if you look at those remaining jobs, Hondo, is there any of those, if you're Eric Bieniemy, you take?
No, I don't touch Houston, and I don't touch Philadelphia. And I want to go back because you just made a really good point. I know a very well-known assistant coach who has interviewed, I've been told, 5 times for head coaching jobs. And I know for a fact by one guy who is in the room, and when we go to commercial, Scott, I'll tell you who it is, and you can tell okay. The listeners whether I told you or not.
Yep.
But they said he was just terrible. And so here's the deal. Nobody says that about Bieniemy. And I have heard from people that he's being smart. He doesn't have to get out of Kansas City. They love him. And that a lot of people in Kansas City are hoping he doesn't get a job because they would like him there to take over when Andy Reid goes. I think what you're seeing with Eric Bieniemy is this is a guy who's earned the right to be a head coach. I don't care about the color of his skin. And I wish people would quit saying that. I'll give you a great example one time. I heard people say, well, Tony Dungy was a great black head coach. I said, no, Tony Dungy was a great coach, period. Nothing. And to me, when you say he was a great black coach, you almost minimize his success. I put Tony Dungy up there with anybody. Great head coach. Bieniemy is a great assistant. His color has nothing to do with the fact he's great. And I keep hearing from people. He interviews well. He's super smart. He understands the game. But he is going to be selective. I think Eric Bieniemy is, we're looking at a guy who's going to be another good one. And I'm going to give you a guy that's maybe had opportunity and not done so good, but I think deserves another look. Leslie Frazier.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think that's the only concern I have is I don't want to see progress go backwards. I'm not saying
you can decide
whether there's been enough progress or not. I'll leave that up to you and your opinion out there in the listenership. But I will say this is I'm already seeing people setting up the argument that if Eric Bieniemy doesn't get a job or doesn't take a job, those are two key distinctions, by the way, that somehow it's all racially based. Now, if Eric, you might say to me, well, Scott, if Bieniemy doesn't get a job, then why doesn't he just come out? Or if he decides to not take a job that was offered to him, why doesn't he just come out and say, well, I just chose not to tell, I was offered a job, but I chose not to take it. And the answer to that is you, when you decline a job with an NFL team, you don't go out and say, yeah, I interviewed for it, but I thought it was a bad situation. You don't go out and say that. You say, hey, listen, you know what? That didn't work out this time around. You keep it very generic because you don't want to burn bridges. Nobody wants to burn bridges, especially in a club as small as the NFL.
Well, let me give you another story. I know of a guy who was offered a general manager's job in the NFL, and he turned it down. Mm-hmm. And when I got the story, I called him and said, hey, I'm going to write this story. And he says, please don't. And I said, well, can you give me a reason why? And he goes, yeah. He goes, Hondo, he goes, I don't want that organization to make them think I'm throwing them under the bus. Hey, right. You're a crappy organization. I don't want it. And the next one to say, hey, things will get leaked out from inside our organization. Everybody I know people who play for Eric. I know people who know Eric, who played with Eric. Everybody talks about super high IQ and football IQ, and he's waiting for the right job. I applaud him. I'm going to tell you something. I think there's been a lot of guys who've had to take bad jobs. And I'm not just talking black guys. I'm talking guys who get desperate. They're so desperate. Let me give you a great example. And maybe this offseason we can have him on the show if you'd like. Butch Jones, you may remember him, was the head coach at Tennessee, the Volunteers. Butch is one of my best friends in the world. We're very, very close, like brothers. And so he does great at Tennessee, has one bad year, the fans turn, they want him fired. And one of the things that Butch and I talked about is, you know, he was at Alabama with Nick Saban, and he was in no rush. He had other opportunities to be a head coach, but he's like, listen, I'm not going to leave and take a bad job. I've got a great place in Alabama. I'm going to wait and take a job where I know I can win. Now, he had some other Power 5 schools that were very interested. He wasn't interested. Then, bam, this offseason, he took Arkansas State because it's a great job, great facilities. It's not a Power 5, but it's a great school, great program, better than a lot of Power 5 jobs. That's where guys got to be smart. It's not just about getting your first head coaching job. It's about getting a place that you can win at.
Right. No, exactly. And I think too, that's what Brian Daboll's looked at and said the same thing, which is, hey, you know what? The Chargers situation, because they have a good defense, they have a quarterback similar to Josh Allen in essence, size, but can move with his legs and can throw the ball, and had a great season. And so he didn't get that gig, and so he decided, hey, you know what, I'm going to stay in Buffalo, I'm going to wait it out and see what happens. Now, you always risk that too, because you know, you a great coach you think is always going to have an opportunity, but you just never know what happens. So we'll see what goes on. All right, it's that time of the day where we talk about the winners and losers in sports. So Hondo and I are going to choose a winner and loser. Here's our winners and losers for this Monday.
In life and sports, not everyone gets it right. The line between brilliance and ignorance is a fine one, and Scott is here to call them out. It's time for today's winners and losers.
All right, everybody. My first winner, of course, Raider Nation won't like it because it has to do with the Chiefs, but I got to call it out, Hondo. I'm going to say Andy Reid is a winner, not just because his team advanced to the third straight host of the AFC Championship game in Kansas City. No, that fourth down late call in the game with Chad Henne in as your quarterback, because, of course, Patrick Mahomes went out twice with an injury with his ankle and then, of course, with his concussion. But you call a fourth down. You're at the end of the game. All you have to do is kind of get a first down. It's fourth and one. He goes out of the shotgun and calls a pass with a completion to Tyreek Hill. I mean, Hondo, this is a coach who not only has the cojones, if you know what I mean, but he also has the confidence in his team to do something that not even any of the announcers, anybody watching the game thought he would do. So for that reason, Andy Reid is my winner today.
Yeah, I'm going to give you can I go to the loser direction for a second, Scott? Do you mind?
No, not at all. I think because Andy Reid one speaks for itself, I think.
I want to go to all of NFL fans, and all kids are losers today, and I'm going to tell you why. Drew Brees is one of the finest human beings to walk this earth. Drew Brees is a tremendous man off of the football field. He's a strong man of faith. He's a strong man in his community. He's a great father. You know, a lot of times when a player screws up in the NFL, everybody talks about that one player, but they don't talk about all of the multiplicity of guys that do it right. I say this, all year at Raider Maven, we've talked about the great stuff Darren Waller's done on and off the field. And shame on anybody who spent more time on his past than what he's done now in his future. But the NFL lost a gentleman. They lost a great guy, a great player, a guy off the field, a guy that was known for taking young players, and regardless of which side of the ball or color, and mentoring them. And the NFL lost. Kids lost, because I want kids to see guys like him. I'm a big Drew Brees guy. I have friends on the staff who coach in New Orleans. I know people that have played with Drew. I really like him, and I'm just going to say I think the NFL lost a great guy. And anytime you lose a great guy, that's bad for the league.
Yeah, no doubt. I second that, and it shows. I mean, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, of course, of the Chiefs, tweeted out after the game saying how much Drew Brees meant to him, because he's from the New Orleans area, and how much he meant to the community and what he's done in that community for that city. My loser, in similar fashion to what you talked about with Drew Brees, my loser today, Hondo, is Lamar Jackson, not because he is a loser or because he got injured in the game, unfortunately, against the Bills, but he's a loser because Baltimore doesn't have the pieces on offense to make them a championship offense. I watch him and I see what he's able to do. They got Marquise Brown last year in the draft, but he's not the big go-to number one wide receiver they need. And so to me, Baltimore suffers because Baltimore in these big games just doesn't have the playmakers outside of Lamar Jackson to make the plays to get them to that next step.
So you're telling me that quarterbacks can't win on their own, that it's an entire team sport?
Exactly.
And if that's the case, can you give the minority of vocal Raider Nation fans that hint?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I mean, look, here's your reigning MVP, and he still can't win. Yeah, he won a game in the playoffs, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't have the multitude of weapons that he needs. And that's why I say he's a loser, because his organization has failed him. Now, they'll have time to maybe do something this offseason, but they're so close. They've had the opportunity to get there. And all of the weight seems to come down on Lamar Jackson, of course, like quarterbacks. When they win, they get all the credit, and when they lose, they get all the blame. And I think in this case, you can't blame him for getting injured, of course. But outside of that, you're going to hear, well, yeah, the Ravens get into a big game and they can't win. And they can't win because they don't have the offense. And you're right. If they had a Darren Waller, if they had a Nelson Aguilar even this year, I think this might be a different game with the Ravens. So to me, that's why Lamar Jackson, his team, is a loser, because they can't get him the players they need to do that. All right, listen, we got a caller on the Raider Nation radio hotline. It is our good friend Matt in Hoboken. Matt, you're on with Scott and Hondo on this Monday.
What's up, guys? How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Usually I make some kind of a statement or express an opinion, but today I have a question for you, Hondo. And I hate to fall into the trap of one of these fans who looks on social media too much and thinks he knows what he's talking about because he's looking at the player's social media and stuff. But if you can, Hondo, please shed some light or some inside baseball you may have as to Damon Arnett's maturity issues, because people are skirting around this issue a lot. I hear it being whispered on radio shows about his maturity issues. I look at his social media, and again, I don't want to fall into this trap, but I look at his social media, and just seems like the last thing he's interested in football. Again, that's a snapshot of the guy's life, but can you shed some inside baseball on what his maturity issues are? Because I've heard you mention it before, but not really in much detail.
Good question.
Well, sure, I'd be glad to, but I want to start with, did you go over to Carlos's and get the cannoli I told you to get?
I had about 10 cannolis this weekend, Hondo.
Okay, because you got any. By the way, I want to say this to all of Raider Nation. If you go anywhere near New York City and you don't go to Hoboken, to Carlos Bakery, and get a cannoli, you are crazy. Okay, to your question, my friend. I'm going to say this. First of all, none of it has to do with character. None of it has to do with him being a bad guy. at all. I think you talked about the social media and what it appeared. I think there's just a lot of people that say, hey, you're a millionaire now. Step up and be a businessman. Be a professional. Be a guy who football is your passion. Football is what you live for. It's what you do. Take this game so super serious. One of the things that I dislike most is as a reporter when you say something, and since you've heard me say it, I think you've heard me say every time, I'm not talking about character, but there is me, you know, grow up now. You're a millionaire, and yes, you're playing a kid's game, but you can play a kid's game and approach it with a different mindset. Approach it like a Jeff Heath does. Trayvon Mullen needs to get better. But Trayvon Mullen doesn't approach this game with an immaturity of a Damon Arnett where, you know, it's still a bunch of guys playing in the backyard. This is where he's got to understand, I'm not playing for my first contract. I'm playing for my second and third. I've got to now become a student of the game. I've got to live this game. I've got to be passionate about this game. And I think one of the things that they did in bringing in a Jeff Heath, a Jason Witten, and bringing in, you know, some of these older veterans that Raider fans were a little upset with, they were trying to bring in some vets who would teach these guys how to play the game. You know, Foster Moreau blossomed with Jason Witten. And you see some guys who blossomed under some other guys there too. And so when I talk about Damon Arnett, I want to make it clear. Good kid. Nobody questions his character. But it's just time now for him to grow up. It's time for him to realize, I've been given one of the golden tickets to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. And I need to show up. And I need to be there. I need to take it serious. I need to be in my playbook. It needs to be my passion. I'll give you a great example. I know a guy who, Chris Dolman, the great defensive end for the Minnesota Vikings. And I love Chris. And when he got in the league, you know, people took him aside and said, listen, you got to worry about what you eat. You got to worry and think about what you put in your body. Are you getting enough sleep? Chris Dolman is a great guy. God bless his soul. Loved him. Great man, friend, all of that. But he needed to mature as far as learning how to take the game as a business approach. You know, one of the things that I find fascinating is when guys lose a game, you can go up and shake hands with the player on the other team who you know and you're friend with. But are you over there yucking it up, taking pictures like it's no big deal? Well, you're paid a lot of money to win. And guess what? People do lose. And that's okay when you go over and still greet your friends. But are you over there joking and laughing and dancing like it doesn't matter? And that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. It needs to hurt when you lose a game. And yeah. I think that's what I'm talking about with Damon. Just like with Chris Dolman, learning those things that come with maturity.
Those are important intangibles to being a good NFL pro. And some of the things you're talking about, though, are concerning. I mean, some of the things you're talking about are you know, issues with, he's having mentally with being bought. It sounds like there's some buy-in issues. I mean, is there any buy-in issues with him?
No, and I want to go back. I was just, like, when I mentioned the eating, I was using Chris as an example. I'm not pointing any of these specifically to Damon. I'm just, what I'm saying is that I'm trying to avoid it a little bit because he is a good guy. And it isn't a guy who's a troublemaker. It isn't character. I think he enjoys playing football. But Tom Izzo, the Hall of Fame college basketball coach, is a very dear friend of mine. And Tom Izzo always talks about that for you to be a great player, you can't play the game. You have to love the game.
Yeah.
Damon Arnett has every key thing that you can't go do. God kissed him and gave him talent that he can't build in a weight room. And so he has all of those. Now he has to find the heart. Can I give you a quick example, guys?
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds.
Okay, one of my great friends is Xavier Tillman. He's a big man for the Memphis Grizzlies, a rookie this year, who's tearing up the league. I've known him for a long time. I'm great friends with him and his wife and his two children, Tamia and X Jr. He has all the intangibles with the passion for the game. Damon Arnett has all of the skills to be great. He now has to fall in love with football. He's at a level now where everybody's great. He can't just get on the field and be the best anymore. Now he has to go play and hone his craft.
Yeah, and by the way, thanks for the call, Matt. Great question. And by the way, yeah, when you talk about a player's performance on the field and the need for them to mature, that is not, like you said, indicative of character at all. It shouldn't be taken that way. And if it is taken that way, then that's on the person taking it that way because it's not true. But Damon Arnett's had that problem. He had that problem in college too. So it's something that they have to work on. He's got to understand that you're getting paid to do this. You're not in college. So everything you do, the microscope is on you because you are a professional football player. And everything you say will have impact on someone, and people are watching constantly, so you have to be aware of that. And then on the field, I think he's going to get a huge amount of help about what we're going to talk about right after the break, and that, of course, is Gus Bradley hiring Ron Miles as a defensive backs coach with this Raiders team. We're going to step aside for a break. On the other side, Hondo and I will talk about Ron Miles and why it's such a big deal that he is now going to be coaching guys like Damon Arnett. You're listening to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Little Metallica bringing us in on this Monday. Big Raider fans, of course. This is Scott Gulbranson, Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friend Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. SamandAshLaw.com, because you deserve what's right. Sam and Ash will be with us towards the end of the show. Joining me as my guest co-host today is none other than SI.com's Raider Maven publisher. That, of course, is Mr. Hondo Carpenter. And Hondo, we were talking about Damon Arnett there. Matt in Hoboken had his question about maturity and all that stuff. And one of the things that I thought, you know, not only do I believe Gus Bradley was a very good hire for this Raiders team, but you always look to see who the coordinator's bringing with him. Of course, he's got Rod Marinelli up front who's staying on. You know his record. You know his resume. Without question, one of the best in the NFL. Now you add Ron Miles. You guys have a story up, too, on him and Edwards actually joining the staff. But Ron Miles, specifically, defensive back, when you talk about Damon Arnett, you talk about Jonathan Abram, you talk about Trayvon Mullen, all of these young guys on that back end. And then I talk and I say names like Chris Harris Jr., Desmond King II, Derwin James, Casey Hayward Jr., Rayshon Jenkins. These are all guys that Miles turned into very good NFL players, including some all pros and all rookies there. Talk about the importance of this hire and that maturity. This is the kind of coach. And when we talked to Gilbert Manzano last week about Gus Bradley and about Ron Miles, he would unequivocally said, this is a guy who you better come in ready to go. You better be ready to play and you better have your big boy pants on.
Well, first of all, I think what Miles is he's a tactician. He teaches the game in such great detail that helps him. You may remember this, Scott. You and I were standing at training camp earlier this year, and we were over by the tight ends, and we were watching Darren Waller and Jason Witten spend probably 10 minutes lurking on just one first step on a blocking. Remember we talked about how, wow, look at their attention to detail about one step. Do you remember that day?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And if you look, there's all of Jason Witten's resume and all of Darren Waller's resume. Great players love the game of football. They love to get better at it. And Miles is a guy that's going to come in. And if you don't have the mentality of a Witten and Waller, you better get one quick or you're going to be cut. Because he's going to make them spend that time on one step. And I've talked to guys who played for Bradley, or I've talked to guys that have played for Miles, and these are guys that are going to come in. They're very much tacticians when it comes to technique. When we talked about issues with Damon Arnett, I want to go back to high school. Great player. And every time he stepped foot on the field, he was the best player. Mm-hmm. And then he gets to Ohio State, where, you know, almost every time he got on the field, he was the best player. But then when he gets to the NFL, everybody's good. I remember T.J. Duckett, the great first-round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons, a very dear friend of mine. And I was talking to T.J. after his first year with Atlanta and was having lunch with him in Atlanta, and we were talking about his success. And I go, what's the biggest adjustment? He said from college to from high school to college, it really wasn't an adjustment. He said, it, you know, a little bit, but not much. He said, but your first day in the NFL, he goes, and he ran a 4.4. He said, but the first day in the NFL, a defensive lineman caught me from the back, and I realized, oh, my God, this is a whole different level. So you bring in a Miles that, you know, all of a sudden Damon Arnette is going to have to go out and not only play with the God-given skills he has, he's going to have to play with discipline and technique. The same thing we didn't see from Jonathan Abrams. And so I think with both of those guys, Trayvon Mullen, he's a guy that doesn't necessarily need the maturity, but he needs to be able to be taught. Trayvon Mullen, to me, was the greatest example of where this staff was failing in developing players. Because yes. It wasn't a kid with a maturity issue. This was a kid that was there, wanted to learn, wanted to play, and wasn't getting better. I think you bring in a guy. Now, you listen, he's not a guy that's going to put a boot in somebody's butt or scream and yell and F-bomb him. But he's going to guy a guy that just demands it. And if you don't give it, he doesn't care where you're drafted. It's all about winning. Get me that guy. And he's going to find that guy. So to me, you want to talk about winners and losers. Jonathan Abram, Trayvon Mullen, and Damon Arnette are winners. Because not only do they have Bradley, they got Miles. And they're going to come in. And now here's the other thing. Jeff Heath, who I think is going to be a Pro Bowler next year. All of a sudden, you got him being Miles on the field. Those young guys are going to learn from him. He's going to be able to help them. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that, you know, this is the type of thing Raider Nation was looking for. I think if you think about, while Raider Nation, with the fact that Gus Bradley got hired, you know, they all had Wade Phillips in their head, right? That for whatever reason, that's the name that I say majority of the people I see talking Raider football online really wanted. So they go hire Gus Bradley. A lot of people misunderstood Gus Bradley. They didn't know his background. They don't understand his journey. They know about the time in Jacksonville as head coach wasn't successful. But if you look at that and then you look at the people, because I always say this, Hondo, and I think you said it a couple weeks ago when we had you on the show, which is, it's important. The coordinator position on the defense that John Gruden had to hire was a defining moment in his return to the Raiders. We have to see. The jury will be out until Gus Bradley gets the job done. But more importantly, knowing that you have a young nucleus, at least in their head, they believe they have the young nucleus that they need. All these players that we're just talking about on the back end, those guys that they believe that they drafted, they used all that draft capital to go get in the last two drafts, you needed a master teacher at the position as well. So that's what we're talking about. That's why we're talking about Ron Miles. And the more I looked, I knew about Ron Miles, but then I also studied and looked into all the players he developed, going back to when he first came in the league in the year 2000 with the Broncos, right? When he started there, his secondary had 21 interceptions their first or second year. So this is a guy who knows, like you said, he's a tactician. He knows how to position his players. He knows how to teach them the technique that they need. And we've seen the ability of these players in spurting moments. They've been fleeting at times, and then they would lose it, right? And to that point, you said that this defensive coaching staff last year, that's where they failed. And absolutely, not that those aren't good people who coached the team last year, because it's not personal. But when you look at the development of these young players, for this defense to go from near last in the league in defense to be a middle-of-the-road defense, which they need to be with their offense, that's what you need to do. And you have the master teacher back there. And I think that if people look into that and read more about Ron Miles and understand what he does, and thank you, Hondo, for describing it so well, then I think they get really excited.
Well, I'm going to say this about Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips is a great defensive coordinator. I can't believe that guy hasn't been hired yet. But that's a guy that comes in with a defense that he doesn't have to develop. They've got the tools, and now he puts the pieces together. Kind of like Tampa Bay's offense this year. You know, you bring in a Tom Brady. They didn't need to bring in a guy to develop players. They had players on offense at Tampa Bay. That's where you fit in a Wade Phillips. Great coach. Proven coach. So all the fans who said, hey, I want Wade Phillips, I get that. If you are a team that's developed, but you're not. And so let me tell you the other thing I think that's a really big thing about the Gus Bradley is I did not grow up a fan of the Raiders. I grew up a great respecter of the Raiders. I have a lot of friends that played for this organization. The only job I would have left covering the Big Ten for was to come cover the Raiders. And so, but let me say this, because I think there's an important point that a lot of people are missing. Al Davis, who I believe is an American icon, but Al Davis, a lot of times in his career, did things that maybe were what the fans wanted, and it hurt the Raiders. John Gruden could have panicked and went out and hired Wade Phillips and have everybody for the next 3 or 4 months telling him how great he is. But then when all of a sudden some of these guys weren't developed, you know, come under the heat again. John Gruden went out. He interviewed a lot of people. He talked to a lot of people. And his first gut instinct was right. He needed a guy to develop what he had. I think it was a smart move by Gruden. And I think it showed everybody that John Gruden's not going to be moved by polls. He's not going to be moved by making everybody happy. He's not trying to win social media. He's trying to win championships. I was very impressed with John. And privately, I told a couple of friends of mine, I want to see how John Gruden handles this search for a defensive coordinator, because I didn't think that Wade Phillips was the right fit. Obviously, John didn't need either, and I liked the way he did it. Yeah, this was a great hire.
Well, and he went out, he got laser focused, and he got it done very quickly, which I thought was really important, too. All right, we got a caller on the line. It is Raider 27. Raider 27, you're on with Hondo and Scott here on Silver and Black today.
How can you not call in when Hondo's on?
What's up, brother?
Hey, Hondo. Scott, I read Phil's article this morning, and it was nice to hear someone saying in print the same things that I've been saying. Is I think it's really important to develop our own talent, and you guys are talking about Miles. I researched him a little bit. It's amazing what you can find on Google. He has a great history of he does. He has a great history and reputation for developing young players. And I think we have a lot more talent on our defense than people realize we do. And I think this is a great addition to the defensive staff. I think he's going to really help develop that secondary. We had a lot of weird stuff going on last year. We had guys freelancing and not knowing where they're supposed to be. And I think this is really going to help a lot. So I think Gus Bradley, I keep hearing a lot of chatter about, he does cover three, he only plays zone. But if you go back and look at his teams and see what they really played and really Google it and research a little bit, everybody's multiple. Everybody plays some man-to-man. Everybody plays, you know, he does a 4-3 ender. He may have to find a couple players. It'd be nice to have Josh Allen right now. But, I'm pretty happy with the way it's going. I think they're on the right track. I think they've been on the right track all along. I think Gunther was just a little misstep, and they're back on the right track again.
Well, Raider 27, thanks for your call. And you're right. I mean, you look at what Gus Bradley's done, and two of the friends of the show, B.D. Williams and Marcus Johnson over at Film Don't Lie, have broken it down to dispel some of the rumors about what Gus Bradley does, because people start spreading stuff that's not real. He just plays cover three, it's going to be awful, and it's just zone. It's not. He adjusts. He knows what he's doing. There's a reason why he was coveted and why John Gruden went after him. And I think if you look at this situation, they have talent back there, but how many times in years past, too, Hondo, did you see Raider talent that didn't develop until it left the silver and black?
Well, that's true. And I'm going to go back and say one quick thing about what Raider 27 said, you know, about Gus Bradley. When you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars job and what happened there, that's what I was talking about with Eric Bieniemy. Guys get so desperate to get that job thinking it's never going to come that they'll take a bad job. And Gus Bradley did, and he paid for it. And so when people talk about, well, he's not a great coach, look what happened in Jacksonville, wasn't a great job. Yes, how many Raider players have left and gone other places and been successful? That's a statement against your coaching staff. And that's what John Gruden understood. That's why he got rid of Paul. It's why he went and got Gus, a proven developer, a teacher. And to me, that sets the whole precedent right there. To me, that hire said to the entire organization, get your pads on. Because in OTAs, it's going to be a lot of teaching. And in training camp, it's going to be a lot of head-to-head battles. Guys going at each other. We're going to be teaching. To me, this was a hire that should get every Raider headed out to the Raider shop to get another shirt, another hat. Because this is reason for you to be excited. You know, yeah. I want to say this to Raider fans. I had a Raider fan send me a message, and they said, all you do is sell Kool-Aid. Nope, I don't. I'm not Hondo the Homer. I'm going to tell the truth. But I'm also not a person who's going to live my life consistently pissed off, consistently mad, and consistently feeding on the ugly. I don't do that. It's not the way I live my life. There are a lot of reasons to be excited to be a Raider today. Now, well, you know what? 2020 was a disappointing season, but it's already 2021 now. Things are starting out. You got reasons to be excited about. Get your dapper up. Thank God you're not a lion.
Well, and what, Hondo? You know, that's the thing. Listen, some people can't handle honesty. They can't handle positivity. And positivity, like you said, does not mean Homer. Positivity does not mean drinking the Kool-Aid.
Because if it's real.
If it's real. And you know what? You have your own sources. You report stuff, all that stuff. And people can disagree if they like. There's nothing wrong with disagreement. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, truth has a way of finding itself out into the open. That's definitely what we see with you all the time, my friend. All right, we're going to take a break. By the way, some breaking news. ESPN has just reported that Frank Smith, the tight end coach of the Raiders, is leaving to join Brandon Staley's Chargers staff as a run game coordinator. That according to ESPN at this hour. So some news there as coaches come and go. It happens in the NFL quite a bit. It's too bad. Frank Smith's done an amazing job there with that tight end staff of the Raiders, including Darren Waller, including Foster Moreau as well. So that's breaking at this hour. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with your call. 702-365-9200 is the number. Get on the air with me and Hondo coming up after the break. You're on Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Hondo Carpenter back with you. Silver and Black today brought to you by our good friend Salmon Ash, injury attorney, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Salmon Ash coming up later in the show at 3:45. Coming up at the top of the hour, my partner Q Myers will join us and we'll go through some of the weekend's action, and he'll also give us the Q-tip. Of course, Q's got his new show, so he's got to jump in and out. He can't stay with us the entire show, if you're wondering where Q is, if you missed the news several weeks ago. But he is still part of the show. We'll still be here when possible. So there he goes. Hondo, we were talking on the way out about these players, about this team, and, of course, Raider 27 talking about this young talent on this team. And that maturity issue, you know, that's where I think, and I've said, and he mentioned one of the stories up on our site, up on Silver and Black Today, .com, written by Phil Robinson Jr., or the third, excuse me, Phil Robinson the third. Phil talked about that, and he also brought up a point of view that I really subscribe to, Hondo, and I know I mentioned it to you last week, which is, I think you got most of the young talent you need here. Yes, you need stuff up front. Yes, you need linebackers, but I think that they can do that and get this defense turned to where it needs to be by adding one of those alpha dog veterans up front and then maybe going out and get some young talent. But I think this draft, Hondo, and I know we're not going to get into the draft yet, do that real soon, but I think if the Raiders in that first round, if they're able to go get a guy that can be that difference maker on defense, you do it. But if there isn't one of those available, or if you've addressed it in free agency or via trade, then you just go with the best player available. So I think Raider Nation needs to keep an open mind when it comes to that.
Absolutely. And remember this, because there is a lot of talent on that team that hasn't been developed on the defensive side, you're going to be able to go get some guys in free agency. I think this has the Raiders in a great spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could literally see them getting enough free agents that they look at the board and say, listen, there isn't a guy right here we got to have. So you trade down and accumulate even more picks. And because they've been so diligent on the salary cap, with the coming salary cap apocalypse, they're going to be able to be buyers. I mean, I think the Raiders are set up to trade that pick. Or if somebody drops, they can go to get a guy. Or even move up if maybe they're because they've got enough room. I think the Raiders right now are in super shape this offseason. And that has to do with the entire team. The discipline we've seen in spending, the discipline on the roster, the discipline with the salary cap. The Raiders are in a great spot, Scotty. There's a lot of reason for people to be excited.
Yeah, and Hondo, as far as not exercising the contract on some of the players that we're thinking about, including Tyrell Williams, of course, who was out injured this year, including Trent Brown, if they decide to go that direction, which indications are that they might. That's right after the Super Bowl they can make those choices, correct?
Yeah, and let's think about this one. You know, you still have Marcus Mariota with quite a bit on his contract. Now, I'm going to say this. I would like to see them keep Marcus if that's what they want to do. I'm okay with that. I think Nathan Peterman's really good. Then you go out and get another player as your third. But if they can trade Marcus to a Chicago and pick up another pick, because you got Nathan Peterman, who's a proven guy there, that's a good one. When I say this, Scott, and you know what I'm talking about, when I look at this Raider team, and you know this, Scott, because we both do media, whether it's television, radio, and we do written, negativity sells, and it gets more click. It's a proven fact. When people are mad, they click more. And so the media plays to that. And I understand that there are things. I mean, we wrote about the fans being frustrated. We wrote about it being a disappointing season. We wrote about all that because it's true. But on the other thing is sometimes the good news doesn't sell as good. And the good news is that your Raiders are in the disappointing season, but still 3 years in a row of building, and they're in good shape everywhere to make the next move. I'm going to say this. If they were coming back and Paul Gunther was still on this staff, I would not be as encouraged as I am looking ahead. If they weren't where they are salary cap wise, I wouldn't be as encouraged. If they hadn't have got a Gus Bradley, if they had gotten a Wade Phillips, I wouldn't be as encouraged. They're doing the right things, and I'm not just going to sell negativity for an entire offseason and literally take a whiz on the Raiders so everybody clicks. My job's to tell people the truth. That's why I love you, Scott's why I love Raider Nation Radio, whether it's you, Clay and Pritch, Q, or JT the Brick. You know what? Everybody on this station tells the truth. Vinny, look at what Vinny and Lincoln do. Great work there. I didn't leave them out intentionally. You know, guys tell the truth. And the truth is, last year was disappointing, but man, there are a lot of things to be excited about.
Yeah, and that's the thing we do here, too, is we hold accountable. We talk about when things are not going well. We just don't go nuts. We're not going to call people horrible names. We're not going to go after their families on Twitter or Instagram and all that kind of stuff. That's not what we do here. We keep it as positive as we can because that's what it's about. And if you go through life looking for hate, you'll find it. If you go through life looking for people who are open to having good discussion with it, you'll find it too. All right. It is the top of the hour. It's time to take a break. When we come back from the break, I'll be joined by Q Myers. We'll go through that. He'll give us the Q-tip. And then Honda will rejoin me at the bottom of the hour for 13 minutes with Hunter Renfrow, of course, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. We'll talk to Hunter about the playoffs as well as other things in life, including golf and some subjects that I know we'll bring up that'll be fun to talk to because he's out of season now. So he'll talk football, but we'll also talk life with the great young man, Hunter Renfrow, coming up at the bottom of the hour. You're here on Silver and Black today, only on Raider Nation Radio.